to speak to that person. So I want to ask a question, or maybe try to answer a question. What are these among so many? What are these among so many? Chapter 6 of John. John chapter 6, I'll read from verse 1 to 14. John chapter 6 from verse 1 to 14. I mean, this story repeats itself in practically all the Gospels. You have an account also in Luke chapter 9. I will take a part of Luke chapter 9 to corroborate the story of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are called synoptic gospel. Why? The word synoptic is similar view, similar in optics. You know, optics is optical view, eyes. So similar view. So they record things similarly. But there are sometimes there are one or two details that one person will put, the other person will not put. So I want to piece the story together by reading a portion of John 6. Then I'll read a portion of Luke chapter 9. Just to piece the story together. All right? After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude, verse 2, then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. Verse 3, and Jesus went up on the mountain and sat there with his disciples. Verse 4, now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these," you are a little too fast, "where shall we buy bread that this may eat?" Then verse 6 says, but he said to test him, he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he will do. Verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make them sit. Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and then he had given thanks. He distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. Verse 12. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost." 13. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. And 14, my last verse from this chapter. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Can I prophesy to somebody? This month, you will not only use your mouth to share Jesus, your life will share Jesus. You will be a living, breathing advertisement that Jesus is alive. Luke chapter 9. Just to add one more verse to this scripture. And verse 13. Luke chapter 9 and verse 13. The Bible says, but he said to them, apparently before he told them how much will it cost to feed them. But he said to them, "Give ye them to eat." And they said, "We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all these people." There were questions, different questions in this passage. And one of the questions that jumps out to me is the question that many of us have asked in different ways. And it is, what is this among so much? What is this little among so many? What is the impact of a little me in the United States of America? What is my contribution into the problem of the world? You see, every now and then, when you see the enormity of the problem, you ask a similar question like this. When you see how inadequate you are, when you see how real things are, when life happens to you, when I was putting this together, I said life is like a classroom. And I just felt inside my spirit that actually life is different from a classroom. It's a life room. Life has a room, or life happens like a classroom that we can call a life room. And just like a classroom, there are exams and there are questions. There are things that will come and question what you thought you believe. If you are a Christian, my sister that came to speak today told us, he said, tribulation will come. It was Jesus that said that, John 16:33. It says tribulation will come. The psalmist says, many are the affliction of the righteous. Let me tell you the truth. A complete gospel will tell you that in this world, there will be trouble. Because when you follow Jesus, once you just decide to follow Jesus, everything will become good. It's not the full picture. Yes, all good and perfect gift coming from above, from the Father of light, of whom there is no shadow of turning, there is no variableness within. Yes, it is true. All good things come from him. But can I tell you the truth? There is a real devil. There is a real devil that is after all of us. And I know that social media sometimes make it look like some people are more afflicted than the other people. But the same temptation is being accomplished in all your brethren. You know, sometimes when you meet some people, they just tell you their problem and you sympathize. But they tell you as if that problem is exclusive to them. You know, the devil has been showing me. This devil has been showing me. He has done this, he has done that, he has done this. And sometimes, especially if you're a pastor, you just listen. But you almost are tempted to say, me too. But you know, in counseling, they tell us, just listen. They don't say don't judge you, but they just say, because you have to judge. You have to, not judging, like condemn them, but you have to make an assessment somewhere along there. But listen. So you listen. But the thing will be pinching me like, if I tell you my story, yours is better. If I tell you my story, because sometimes when you see people dressed up, you don't know that the old dress up, they are dressing up all kinds of things. And so there will be tribulation. There will be situations that will make you ask questions. And some of those questions will come as the question of insufficiency. We don't have enough. I don't know if you have been there. You don't have enough money. Some of us, we feel like we don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. I'm running out of time. This matter called marriage, it had better happen this year. I'm running out of time. And when we get into places like this, we make all kinds of decisions. Some people make decisions that are not consistent with their earlier conviction. That is when people begin to revise what they believe in. They'll say, well, you know, wisdom demands. It was the kind of thing that happened to Sarah and Abraham. God had given a word. God said, I'm going to give you a seed. In fact, God, to show that he was serious about it, he said, you know what? We're going to do a name change. We're going to do a name change so that every time you go everywhere, they will be calling you in respect to what I have promised you. So that every day, they will be prophesying. They will be saying it to you. I'm going to change your name. So God changed his name. And instead of being called Exalted Father, they now started to call him Father of Nations. Somebody that had no child. And they said he's the Father of Nations. A nation, at least, will have more than two people. You know, there are very small nations. Very, very small nations. Thousands. In those nations, but most nations, there's no nation that is not thousands. So when they're saying you are father of many, not just one, even if the nation is three people, but they say many nations, and you don't have one child. So Sarah one day came to Abraham and said, this thing will look like madness. God is true, but there are more ways than one that we can solve this thing. A child is a child. Just like some people are telling you, once you get the status, anyhow you get it, it is a green card is a green card. Don't hear them. God can stand for people. Oh, come on. I said God can stand and stand with people. We don't have to change our conviction because of your situation. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine or by everything that happens. It says, an unstable man is like a wind. It's like that thing that is tossed to and fro. He said, let not such a man think that he will receive anything from God. The question of insufficiency. Life is going to question you. And it will seem it's not enough. Oh, you are running out of money. You've not had job for so long now. Now you've spent your savings. We don't have enough. We are running out of money. What is this my little now in the many problems that I have? Some of you are feeling like that. You feel like the way you are in your family. What is this my little among this? The problem is just plenty. When you think you are solving one, many of us that have African descent, we feel like that. It's like the crab theory. You know the crab theory? Where you are trying to get out, all the other crabs are pulling you down. And because of that, nobody gets out. The one that has moved out a little bit because he's trying to help other people, they bring you down. So the question keeps coming. What is this among so many? Question of insufficiency will come. The question of inadequacy will come. I'm not able. I'm not able. It was the thing that happened to the children of Israel when they were supposed to go to the promised land and they sent the spy. The 10 that came said, we are not able. We are not able. You know, the reason I'm sharing the building matter to you small is that some of you, if I tell you what it takes, you just say, we are not able. So I will bring it piecemeal. Why? Because there is a way that you will spy the land. And the people that spy the land will come and say, well, the land is like what is described. But what is there? We are not able. I was praying somewhere yesterday. One of the things I started saying with the people I was praying, I said, we are able. We are able. Because even me, I'm talking to myself. Because there is a way life happens to you and life wants you to conclude. It's a question, but it wants you to supply the answer. And you will conclude, I'm not able. What have you concluded that you are not able? I'm not able to pass the exam. I'm not able to rise to the top. I'm not able because of the skin color that I have. I'm not able because of my gender. I'm not able because of my accent. Let me tell you the truth. When you have results, they will hear you. All this one that some people are saying, your accent, I can't understand you. If I have results, you understand my accent. I have met many rich people that they don't really speak English. They speak something else. But I hear them in English. Amen. You had better hear them. You had better hear them because you need something from them. I don't know if, I mean, those days when I was still doing all this corporate thing, recruiters will call me and some recruiters are like, are you speaking English? I think what. I am asking you to send your resume. I'm like, I can't. But if I say I can't hear, that's foul. Bang out to my request. So I will hear them. In fact, sometimes they will speak. You know, the Bible says, once I God spoken twice. Sometimes you will hear people twice. So, because you know what you need. So don't let the devil give you an excuse to stay where you are. Don't let the devil give you an excuse of inadequacy. The question of inadequacy will come. And there's one way of this question that I particularly have an issue with. The question of inferiority. You are too small. You are too little. You don't have what it takes. You are not made of something that can really carry this thing. Inferiority. Oh, people like us don't do that. People like us don't do that. I'm a C student. I'm a D student. I've never done this in life before. I've never attempted that before. There are people listening to me because you see, this message is an emphasis by the Spirit. I believe there are people listening to me. There is some level of inferiority. You just believe you are not enough. You just believe that somehow it won't come because of you. But Scripture says, we have this treasure in earthen vessel The container may look funny, but the content is solid. If the content is from him, forget the container, he's able to do the job. The one that made the container and the content knows what that container will do and is able to do the job. So my frame is good enough. Don't let nothing tell you you are not built enough. Your head is not, if your head was like this, it will make you more sin. If your leg was like that, if your this one was like, there is no part of your body that is irregular. It's good enough. God is able to use. God has used small before. He has used big before. He can use anything. In this Bible, the name of Saul is there. Saul the king. The Bible says he was head, shoulder, taller than everybody in Israel. In this same Bible, the name of Zacchaeus is there. He was so short, he had to do support. Amen. He had to have a platform. Amen to Jesus. He had to find something. And we still find his name here. God is trying to tell you, what they said is against you, I can use it for you. For we know that all things work together for good. For they that love God and them that are called according to his purpose. So, it can work for your good. All things are working for my good. Because it's intentional. Never failing. All things are working for my good. It's intentional.
Never failing.
So I want you to believe. All things are working for my good. I came late. It's working for my good. I didn't start early. It's working for my good. I made a mistake. It's working for my good. My mates have gone ahead for me. It's working for my good. It's so that when God does my own last, I will have the latest. It's working for my good. This month, don't let the devil sell you what God didn't give you. It's working for my good. There are some of us, we are too worried. Worried. Stretched out. But God, maybe let me quickly get a little ahead of myself, but I was going to get there. Jesus, this scripture told us, Jesus knew what he was going to do. Jesus knew what he was going to do. That is what actually God told me to come and tell somebody. I know what I'm going to do. I got it figured out. I know what I'm going to do. Even this whole life putting question mark. It's just so that you will process, you will grow through it. It's so that I will mature you through it. It's so that I will refine you through it. I know what I'm going to do. I am still the doer. I know what I'm going to do. I'm not clueless. I'm not saying, hey, look at what Trump just said today. I'm not standing in front of my TV and wondering what's Trump going to say again. If he says something about Putin, will there be nuclear war? Will Iran this? You know, the way some people are watching news, they're just... If it disturbs you, shut it down. Can somebody say amen? I used to watch 9 o'clock news back in the day. In fact, the way I do with songs and messages now, I used to do with 24-hour news. I will listen to news and sleep. I want to stay informed. I saw that information was deforming me. Because you are, and that's some of you, I want to be informed. But this information is not only informing you, it's deforming you. So what do I do? My message comes like summarize something. Daily roundup. Just headlines. I'm still informed. But I don't sit in front of TV to be hearing bad news. Because it is not news there, except it's bad news. I rather stay with another type of news. There is good news here. The gospel is good news. The reason why it is called good news is that God knew there would be a lot of bad news in the days that you will come. And so you have to relate more with the good news. And all things are working for your good. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. You have nothing to fear. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 says, it says, don't be without covetousness. It says, because God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can boldly say, when the Lord is for me, I don't have anything to fear. So when life throws you curveball, just be assured of this. Jesus knows what he wants to do. Jesus knows what he wants to do. In Luke chapter 9, verse 13, Luke chapter 9, verse 13, Jesus said something there that caught my fancy. Because in this whole story of insufficiency, in this whole story of inferiority, of lack, and the thing going on with the fact that there was no food and that Jesus already knew what he was going to do, I was particularly surprised when Jesus threw out a challenge. Apparently, many things that people have called problem is a challenge. Jesus now told them, give them something to do, to eat. Excuse me. This is trouble. This is problem. This is something that we need to quickly manage them. We need to be thinking about how do we get these people out safely to where they are going. Then you are now, you didn't even talk about getting them home. You say, do something about it. Hear me this morning or this afternoon. There are too many problems that you are describing that Jesus says, give them something to eat. There are too many problems that you are avoiding, that you are ignoring. And Jesus is saying this morning, there is something in you. You see, there is a dimension of what a man carries that roars when he finds the life problem that he needs to answer. If you are a Moses, there is a roaring that will happen when you see your people being afflicted. It begins to roar. Something begins to work. Something is as if you are discomforted and you think it's the same thing that is happening to everybody. No, it's because that challenge is your wake-up call. We thought Goliath was just disturbing the whole of Israel and embarrassing a whole nation. Apparently, Goliath was that life room. You remember the life room that we talked about? Was the life room that David was going to go into and emerge indeed as king. He had been anointed. Nobody knew. But God wanted to announce him. And the announcement will come as a challenger. What is this little among so many? I am saying to you this morning, there are some challenges in your life that you have today. I have this problem of headache. I have this problem of childbirth. I have this problem with my marriage. Maybe what God is saying, look at this life room very carefully. Because not only will you be fed, you will be feeding people. Your hunger is not about you. Your hunger is about something that you will give the world. God is saying to somebody listening to me, it is not about marriage. It is so that you are going to hold many sisters. You are going to walk them to their husband's house. It is not about papers. What is it about green card? You can do it like that. It's so that you can help many young men that would have been sold to slavery many years to come. That is what this is all about. Say, give them something to eat. Hear me, and hear me very clearly. When all these life problems throw themselves at you, many people, they think it's all about them. But God is saying, give them something to eat. You are a Joseph, you are in Potiphar's house. Remember that you have to give them something to eat. Don't mess up yourself. You are a Joseph, you are in the prisoners, in the prison. Be there, but be very sensitive. Because one day you will give them something to eat. God sent you there on an assignment. Don't you know that it's not only people that hold this mic that are apostles? One person told us today that the basis is an apostle. Amen to Jesus. And it's true. An apostle is just somebody that is sent. Oh yeah. It's not every apostle that is reading book here. There are some apostles that will be out there. There are some apostles that will do business. There are apostles in the marketplace. So, give them something to eat. There's a generation. There are too many of us who are just saying, this generation, they don't like Jesus. They don't like God. God said, give them something to eat. Give them the Heritage Church. Give them something to eat. Give them something that is beyond today. Give them something to eat. Take responsibility. That's what Jesus is saying. Sometimes, when there is insufficiency, sometimes, when there is inadequacy, sometimes the challenge is not really about you. It's about you to see. It's like the burning bush. It's like what was happening to Moses. When Moses, the Bible says, and as he turned aside to see the sight, he heard. God is, these things are attention grabber. Because God wants you to give them something to eat. And I've come to tell you something. You have something to give them. You have something to give. They didn't know that they had something to give. They thought that because of the enormity of the problem, they didn't have anything that can be a solution to the problem. Hear me, you are an immigrant. You have something to give. Don't complain about too much killing in Chicago. There are many of you listening to me today. Hear me very clearly. You can do something about it. Give them something to eat. Don't complain about the children who don't love God. give them something to eat. At least start in the place of prayer. Start in the place of prayer and say, God, you can do something. You can send someone. Send a laborer. Send a laborer. Give them something to eat. You come to this church, you notice a problem. Give them something to eat. You see your family, you have seen a pattern, and you are commenting about it. Give them something to eat. Rise up. It was Pastor Tucker that was telling us during women's conference that Deborah said, I, Deborah, rose up. There are too many people that are sleeping giant. God is saying, rise up. God is saying, rise up. Wake up. There are some, I was joking with one of our guys, and I'm not really joking. He's doing ushering. I say, one day we'll pack this mic and come and give you. Because you are not an usher. Nothing wrong with ushering. But you see, there are some of us, we are using armor to kill an ant. We are not using what has been given to us to do what we should do with it. Give them something to eat. Some of you have been hearing us every Sunday. Many of you can go and do another church now. Say, what is out there? What is out there? What is out there? You see? Well, let me not go there yet. Because I wanted to start saying some of the things that will happen as we go to this new building. It's not, all of us are not going to be staying in this church together. Can somebody say amen? How many mics do we have now? How many minutes? Sometimes it's like media, they take out of my minutes. After I'm enjoying the message, I'll just see that the minutes have gone. So what are we going to do about this? And there's something upon your life. There is something you have to give them to eat. Then go and find a way to give them. Maybe go on Facebook. Maybe go on Instagram. Maybe go on TikTok. Give them something to eat. You have something to give them. Every day when you wake up this month, realize I have something to give. One of the things the devil has done to this generation is to make people be ignorant of what they carry. Is for them to conclude, I don't have anything. This guy had already, they have already concluded it's not possible. But Jesus knew that they can give them something to eat. Did they eventually give them something to eat? Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Thank God they didn't fight Jesus, because they could afford Jesus, and Jesus couldn't serve 5,000 people. He needed them to help him. So that's why I said, give them something to eat. I'm sure they grumbling say, okay, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. How do we give them something to eat? But first of all, take this challenge this morning. Give them something to eat. Give your generation something to eat. Let me tell you, life is not measured in the duration. It's measured in the donations. What are you giving your generation? There are some of us, we are counting years, but our years are not counting. Why? We have not given anybody anything to eat. We are just eating everything. You are a consumer. You have heard many messages. You're able to share the message. You have not shared it with anybody. You are just consuming everything. And there is a problem when you eat more than you give. The doctors know what it does to us. You have to take in and take out. That's the way this life is worked. If you now become a reservoir, sir, it will constipate you. It will put. That is why some of you are frustrated. That is why there's anger. Some people are angry. So in the morning, on Friday morning, on Monday mornings, for many people, they're angry. I'm angry. I don't want to go to that place again. Why? You are constipated. There are things you can give people to eat. You have eaten everything, and only you are sitting there. You are not doing your eye like this. You have eaten too much. Give them something to eat. Find the them. Every one of us need the them that we are giving something to eat. Find the them. It may not be much. It may just be every Sunday, I will give somebody $20 in this church. I put money in my pocket, and I'm going to make sure I find one brother. Give them something to eat. You had the testimony today. I'm very glad. Did you hear Pastor E there? There was no Pastor E there. There was different kind of pastors. Because they had something to give them to eat. Amen to Jesus. No. I'm not necessarily trying to play, you know. I'm just trying to tell you that we all have something to give. Even the person that was cooking, the man was very grateful for that guy. He give them something to eat. Give them. Give the girls around you something to eat. Give the boys around you something to eat. Give lawyers like you something to eat. Do you know that the reason God sent somebody ahead is so that those that are coming behind will not go through that same road without the assistance and the experience that person that has gone ahead of them has gotten? But shame on some of us. We go ahead. Not only that do we go ahead, we mess up the road. So that when people are coming, they can't even pass that road again. It's a big shame. It's a big shame. Sometimes I ask myself, there are different immigrants that have come to this country for so many times, so many years. I've been asking myself, some people that have the color of my skin, they've been coming for so long, but I've not seen them give them something to eat the way I want to say. I've seen many communities. You know there are some communities. You hear of so-and-so village, so-and-so village. By now, the number of our color of skin in this country, we should be hearing that kind of village. Do you know why we are not hearing that? They are not giving them something to eat. We are only eating everything. And the days we don't want to eat, or we don't have enough, we think we have extra, we'll send it back home, quote and unquote. If you've lived in this country more than 2 years, this is home. Look at somebody, say, this is home. Say, do something here. Look at them like you are serious. Say, do something here. I don't have a problem with Omo. You know, many of you know I travel a lot. I'm very village man. I'm a very village man. But sir, this is home. I want to sow here. I want to invest here. And Isaac sowed in the land. And when we started Victory House, we used to pray one prayer. Make room for them at the top. Hear this from me. Mark today's day. In this, there are children from this church. You will see them in White House. You will see them in White House. Yes, some of them can go and do something in where you call home. But some of them, they are going to the very, very top in the name of Jesus. So have a different perspective. I have something to give. At my workplace, when I come there, I'm light. I change everywhere. I produce illumination. I also produce heat. When I come, I bring intensity. I bring fire. I just change the atmosphere. I can't leave the place the way I met it. No. When I come in there, I change the temperature. It's as if I'm salt. And when I come in, I make the soup better. Give them something to eat. You need to have that consciousness. Jesus was trying to get them to something. Because he knew what to do. Jesus didn't need to have all this drama. He knew what to do. He knew what to do. He just walked them through this whole process so that he would show them something. And one of the things he showed them, give them something to eat. You have something to give them. I know media has taken some of my time. Maybe I'll add some other parts to this next week. But you have something to give them. This generation is waiting. Romans chapter 8 verse 19. The earnest expectation of the creature is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. There's a wait. There is an expectation. Many people are waiting and looking for something. They don't know what they are looking for, but they are waiting for it. I remember many years ago, Steve Jobs, when Apple was about to start iPhone, they told him, nobody is going to buy a phone of more than maybe $200 then. He said, no, they will buy it. He said, they need it, but they just don't know yet. They need it. They want it. They just don't know yet. I'm telling you, our generation needs you. They may just not know yet. Jesus is telling you today, give them something to eat. They don't know yet, but they need something from you. And you have it. You have it. It may be small. Don't make the mistake and say, what is this among so many? Don't worry about that. As long as the command is coming from Jesus, you give them something to eat. It won't run out. Start to give them. Start to give them small. Start from where you are. Start with what you are, but give them something today to eat. Give them something to eat. Oh, God has called me into psalmistry ministry. He has called me to sing. Give them something to eat. Give them one song first. Give them one line first. When you give them one line, when you give them one song, you'll give them one album. From one album, you'll give them 10 albums. Because that's how it works. He that is faithful with little will be given more. Give them something to eat. Give them, your generation, something to eat. Don't let this generation go like this. Don't, because some of us, we have clapped for too many people and we have forgotten that other people are waiting for us for them to clap for us. Many weeks ago, maybe months ago, God told me this one. And I told some of my people. I said, God told me, you that others want to watch, you are watching others. That's how many of us are. You are now watching television. You that should be on TV, you are watching television. You are binging. I don't have a problem with binging. I don't have a problem with Netflix and chill. But sir, how long will we do Netflix and chill? Give them something to eat. give them something to eat. We can't sit down and pretend that there is no hunger, that there is no demand, that there is no challenge. David said something when he was going to face Goliath. He said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Why are we like this? Why are we sitting there as if nothing is wrong? There is an emergency, don't you know? Don't you know that everybody is waiting for you? Don't you know that, you know, when David came into the ring, we thought that David came to meet people. Alas, they were waiting for him. They were waiting for him. They didn't know he was the one they were waiting for because he was too small. Who is this among so many? Who is this David? What is this David with this Goliath? This man has been, the Bible said, he had been a warrior from his youth. He was a giant. He was a giant. Even his armor was so big that they had to carry for him. This was a man that was trained to kill. But they were waiting for David. They were waiting for David. And David came there. And he said, is there no cause? Is there not a cause? I am asking this morning, is there not a cause that you have noticed? Is there nothing God has been disturbing you about? Is there nothing that has been disturbing you? You have been irritated. You have been angered. Have you done anything about it? Give them something to eat. Give them something to eat. Enough of complaining. It's so cheap to complain. It's so easy to say, they are not doing it well. That church, they don't do it well. But give them something to eat. You have something. You have something. David was not in the army. David was not in the choir. David was not a workforce. Oh, the excuses that we have given, all of those excuses, David just shattered them. The excuses of I'm not old enough. The excuses of I'm not enlisted. The excuses of they didn't ask me to do it. If they need my help, they will ask me. Let me tell you, some of the things that happen in life's room, they will not come and tell you they need your help. Jesus is already telling you through me today, you have something to give them to eat. Give them something to eat. This one that you are waiting for us to come and call you in your house and say, please, 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 we need your help. If you don't come today, we will not come home. Because even we are trying to look for them to give them something to eat. God is calling us to a people. God is calling us to light a fire in the people, and we are busy about what God has sent us to do. Better be busy about your own. Because one day we are going to stand before this God. We are going to stand before him. And many people think that one day when we stand before Jesus, it will just be about, do you know Jesus? You don't know Jesus. Pa, pa, pa. They will clap for the people that know Jesus. Go and sit down. It's not like that though. There are people that know Jesus that will still be ashamed that day. They will stand before Jesus. They will not go to hell, but they will be ashamed. Because their works will be judged. Say, blessed are they who die in the Lord. Say, for their works follow them. Their works follow them. Oh, some people are going to stand before Jesus. And Jesus will say, what are the them? Who are the them? Did you give them anything to eat? And they look behind you and say, ah, you were supposed to have 10 nations behind you. One continent each. One nation, at least one nation from them. What is this? This is not even your street. What happened? You mean you didn't give them something to eat? I've come this morning to tell you, give them something to eat. Don't say, what are these among so many? Don't say, this is little. It's just a song. Who told you it's just a song? Give them something to eat. God has used the littlest, the minutest, the insignificant things. Give them something to eat. Naomi would have thought, who am I among such a thing? But she gave them something. She gave her values. She gave what she knew. She so poured herself into her daughter-in-law that a daughter-in-law, after the death of her husband, said, I have to still follow you. She didn't know that that little impact, that little influence will make a young Ruth to make a decision that will even put Naomi on the map. Give them something to eat. You are looking at big things. There is a small thing in your hand. Use it. You have a sling. You have 5 stones. Use that. You have a mic. You have a phone. You have a computer. Use that. You have a pen. You have a notepad. Use that. Some of you, you have time right now. You have time. Use that. Give them something to eat. Don't use this time. Don't while away this time. Say, I'm just trying to let time pass. No, you are just wasting time. And let me even help you very well. You are wasting life. You are wasting yourself. Every day, some people have been wasted. This year, so far, for some people, if they will write anything about it, wasted. The first 5 months, wasted. Why? They spent half of it watching others. And God is saying, you have something to give them. What are you doing today? Give them something to eat. It will take you standing up. It will take you understanding that you are not empty. Hear me, oh. Every time life comes to challenge you, most of those challenges does not meet you empty. You have something. You have just not seen it. You have just not seen it. I hope what I'm saying this morning is pushing you to say, I want to see what I have. If it's this bold to say, me, I have something. Is it true that I have something? Yes, you have something. You have something. Give them something to eat. Your generation is waiting for you. Oh, yes. We know there are some people that are very good in that your field, but they are waiting for you to give them something to eat. I close with this story. Several years ago, I was speaking with this senior vice president in Microsoft then. I was doing internship with Microsoft. And I was speaking with the guy. And I asked him a question. So this team is live. I don't even know if they have live now. I don't know what Microsoft calls their search engine now. But those days, they used to call it live. So they had this live search engine. And I told him, I said, sir, why are you disturbing yourself with live? Google is already a known name. In fact, Google is synonymous with search. And he smiled. He said, you stay close enough so that the day Google drops the ball, we'll pick it up. Even in corporate world, they know that they have what to give them to eat. Even when there is dominance, even when others have come, because that's one of the excuses many of us give. There's no space again now. Everybody has done everything. You know, some people have said that. They've sang all the song. They've written all the books. They've done everything. They preached all the sermon. Ah, look at how many people have passed us in victory. Who told you we have said everything? We have not said everything. There's still a gospel according to you. When Matthew wrote the gospel according to him, we didn't know that Luke can still write something and still be meaningful. Same story, but from different streams. I read for you the same story from two places. And they had different emphasis. In fact, this emphasis we are concluding with is from another guy, Dr. Luke. And he said, Jesus said, give them something to eat. In my Bible is in red letters. Give them something to eat. I want you to stand to your feet. I have something to give them. And I will give them something to eat. I have something to give. I am not empty. I will give them something to eat. I won't waste my life. I won't toil with my life. I won't complain about how small it is. I won't complain about the situation. I won't complain about the country. I won't complain about the limitations. I have something to give them to eat. I will give them something to eat. I will give them something to eat. I have decided I will give them something to eat. My generation will benefit. There is a cry in the nations. There is an hunger from my generation, and I won't leave them hungry for long. I won't leave them waiting for longer.